episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
This is King Charles speaking from the UK, and I'd like to say that Roro and I have been having a little chat, and I'm thinking of coming over to see one at some stage, and I think I've lost my voice of doing Prince Charles. It's gone a bit pitch. One has been talking funny all day, and I've lost my voice and accent. Never mind, Roro. I'll be back.
Good evening, this is Rick Rollo, episode number 40 of King Charles.
What a funny little man.
He is funny. But it's episode number 48 of Rick and Rollo on the 27th of September 2025. Rollo, are you with
us? I am. Thank you. King Charles is funny little man.
He actually talks much slower. The one that was on last week was a fake Prince Charles, King Charles on. It was definitely not the right one. But he has a much slower voice.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably get my head chopped off. I'll go to the tower for saying, calling him Prince. It's a king. He's the king.
Yeah. It's like when Molly called, has said, your mother. Your mother's coming over. And he said, you mean Queen Elizabeth?
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And all the
How did he get away with it to get King Charles on his countdown?
You're listening to would you believe it? Rick and Rollo.
After the break.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
We're listening to the Rick and Rollo Show, episode number 48, on the 27th of September 2025. And back to our hosts, Rick and Rollo.
Thank you, Bernard King. Bernard King, man, I swear that show that he used to do, what was it called? Potluck. And he was merciless, wasn't he, to the people that went on?
What was the co-host? You know, real.
It was Ernie Sigley.
Now that was so we've lost those real Australian ocker type because he was You could tell Ernie Sigley was a smoker and a drinker.
But that was so good for a laugh on the Late Show. They didn't even have to do any work. They just took take one potluck thing.
My son's getting involved with the university light entertainment. So he just acted in a play. Sure. Fantastic reviews.
Down in Melbourne.
And he's applying for acting. He's doing an acting module of his university degree next year.
Yeah.
So because he's got lots of good reviews. But anyway, I said to him, my favourite, and they are up the best in the world comedians, are that group of guys that form the D Generation from Melbourne University.
Yeah, let's go through them. So there was Rob Sitch,
and
Santo Gilaro. And then there was Jane Kennedy. And who says point. Women? Who says women aren't funny? She was hilarious. Then I didn't think Judith Lucy was that funny.
She was. She is funny. Mick Martin
and Tony Malloy.
Tony Martin and Mick Malloy. You got it wrong, Rollo.
Tony Martin and Mick Malloy. God, how many books have I had?
And 1990. Oh, what year was it? Say 91 to whenever it finished.
Yeah, it was 91 to 93.
Okay, on a Saturday night, you stayed home, watched the Late Show, and then you went out afterwards. If you didn't go out, you just stayed. Because that was the hands down funniest stuff.
It was hilarious.
And since then, I'm telling you now, anyone out there listening, if you want to read some of the funniest books ever, it's the travel logs these guys put out that from Working Dog Productions. They call.
Oh yeah, what was his name? The guy that did the news.
All four of them wrote these books, and they're mock travel guides. They look exactly like Lonely Planets. There's one for Fake Tan, which is like a mythical Asian country. There's one. Moldovia, which is a mythical, I think there is a Moldovia actually, or Moldonia they call it. But they are so funny. If you don't burst out laughing on every page, they have travel guide, they actually have restaurant reviews, they have five different journalists that are going around reviewing these things, and each one of them, they don't exist. They're fake people, but they're so funny. Oh my God.
Great days. Here we go. I've got the entire cast in front of me. Here we go. So we'll go again. So it was Rob Sitch. Tom Gleisner was the newsreader. Tony Martin, who's a New Zealander. You obviously have a soft spot for Santo Gilaro, Mick Malloy, Jane Kennedy, Jason Stevens, Judith Lucy, Pete Smith. Remember Pete Smith?
Pete Smith was a voiceover guy they brought in to do it, but... what happened to Jason? Because he was funny. He was a really funny guy. Jason Stevens. He was an incredibly funny guy. We've never seen him. I've never seen him since.
I don't know what he's done. But anyway, this is hilarious. Marge Danny was in it. I always thought she was on the other comedy show, Magda Zabansky. I can't remember her being part of that show.
They've got
Russell Crowe here as Shirty, the slightly aggressive bear. That's hilarious.
I would have to say that was the pinnacle of Australian comedy. And they've since gone on to do, you know, The Dish and, you know, they brought in...
The Dish was awesome. And so was the one where the guy was going to lose his home. What was it? With Antenny...
The Castle.
Yeah.
The writing and acting is just absolutely top class. I mean, I said to my son, you are at, he's in the same theatrical group as these guys came from. They all came from Melbourne University in 1985 and started the D Generation. And I can remember watching it and laughing my head off. I mean, there were so many funny gags. The other guy was a bit undergraduate.
That was when they were a lot younger. That was a lot younger. That was mid-80s, wasn't it?
It was 85, when I first got there.
Yeah, mid-80s.
This is my 40th anniversary this week of being in Australia. It was, I arrived.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You picked the right country, mate.
I tell you,
the castle was made on a budget of like $200,000 or something, and it made $5 million. So Village Roadshow just had to do the dish, which then they could afford the other New Zealander, Sam Neill, to be in the dish. And that comedic guy from America with the deep voice, Patrick Warburton, remember him? It was one of the funniest things in it. Yeah.
The dish is about the moon landing, the signal base at Parkes.
Because they lost the signal or something, so they faked it.
Yeah, funny that. It's probably happened, and in real life it's probably that
happens
as well.
Have you seen the actual poster? It's actually got sheep in a paddock. And that's what John Le Bon actually loved about it. John Le Bon was always going on about how, you know, the sheep were being sold by the...
Truth in advertising. Anyway, Rollo, what are you drinking tonight on this wonderful Saturday night?
I will tell you, because you asked last week. Now, it's so much... My skin condition has been fixed up since I've started drinking this, because I was used to drink Smirnoff, which is double the price of Aldi, which is Tamova, Tamova vodka, four-time distilled.
Look, the Aldi, I'll say this again, and I'm not sponsored by them, but they're quite well sponsored. Aldi source for their products by the Germans that run it, the best that they can get for the best price. And so Smirnoff's off the shelf. They don't have it. But what they will have is a vodka that's better or as good as Smirnoff.
Yeah. And you can buy it. You can buy it at 8:30 in the morning. they don't even chain it off. The second the store opens, the New Lambton Katara one. They used to have a little chain that they put across the alcohol section and wouldn't open until 10.
Yeah.
Whereas the Cardiff one, the second the store opens, you can go and grab a bottle of vodka and they'll sell it to you, no problem. I'm the first one in line every morning.
Now, I'll just have to say, and commiserations to Frank the Salt Guy, if he's out there listening, which he probably isn't. But
I read that story. No.
Geelong just lost the grand final.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Brisbane beat them, but it's actually. The Brisbane team is something like, like the Swans. They're actually an old Victorian team that's just moved to Brisbane. So I think it's St Kilda. Is Brisbane St Kilda?
St Kilda's definitely a Melbourne team. Brisbane are the Lions or the Bears?
The Lions.
I think the Bears.
No, the Lions, but they were from... Victoria, they just moved the team.
And they moved the team up to Queensland. Yeah,
because the North Sydney Bears are now based in Perth. That's rugby league.
It's ironic that who's in the rugby league grand final? Not Parramatta.
No, definitely not Parramatta.
I've got my Parramatta jersey on right now, actually, because I was lazy and didn't do a lot of washing this week. Yeah.
I hate to say that I know this, but I do. There's a final tomorrow it'll be Melbourne versus whoever wins. I think it's Penrith versus, is it the Bulldogs or is it or the Brisbane Broncos? Anyway,
I can tell you about baseball, but not rugby league. But I know the number one supporter of Melbourne is Molly Meldrum. he still with us, isn't he?
He is.
What did Molly do? He fell off a ladder or something, fixing a light drunk.
Yeah. Can I just suggest a conspiracy theory here? That guy is up to his neck in dodgy stuff. I'll just say that without implying too much, you know, because he was, he's a raving, I'll just say, a raving homosexual. And when I was a roadie, this is how naive I was. This is in 1987. I was a lugger, lugging equipment in for thrash, a lot of thrash metal bands and some great bands. But nothing that become famous, just good, probably old style metal bands from Sydney. One of the guys was going, oh, where are you off to? He goes, oh, I'm going to the final of Countdown is tonight. And all the other guys went, oh, because he's a good-looking guy. And all the guys said, I bet your Molly invited you, did they? And I went, is he gay? And everyone in this whole room, all these musicians, all looked at me like, are you serious? Oh. You didn't know that? Because I couldn't believe it. He doesn't look gay. He doesn't sound, well, not until you, once you get told that, he stands out like a proverbial.
Yeah.
But he, remember in Neighbours, he was encouraging young bands to come and break into his house because there was a scene in, there was a story in Neighbours when Jason Donovan band, they break into Molly's house and he appears in the episode of Neighbours. And I was thinking, he's encouraging young boys to break into his house. And I bet you won't walk out of there without a limp from Molly's house, I would say. And yeah. Now, I reckon that,
I think,
that whole...
My old man was in a restaurant in Thailand. And I'm not sure if it was he was having dinner with Peter Andre, a very young Peter Andre. It came sort of a little bit of a flash in the pan. Singer.
No, became big in England, Peter Andre. He married Katie Price, who she would have to be the most frightening example of plastic surgery.
Russell Brand's Katie Price.
Katie Price, I think, if I'm right. She was a nobody, one of those England's Got Talent nobodies that with huge tits and big lips, and now she looks like
nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. She was good looking, but now when you have a look at her now, oh my goodness gracious me! But Peter Andre hooked up with her, and he became big in England like for quite a while. So he's actually quite a big star in England, Peter Andre. He was like Australia's Michael Jackson.
All the all the Home and Aways and the Neighbours. I mean, look how well Kylie did and Jason did.
Danny Minogue,
yep. Yeah, the sister. They did really well. Craig McLaughlin didn't do too badly. All on the West End.
I'm supporting Craig McLaughlin as a even though that guy's ego is pretty hard to bust, and he hasn't lost anything because he's on Facebook, and he's sharing stuff because, we talked about last week, he's been cancelled again. He can't get a job without all these hate-filled lefty people saying that he was,
he's grabbed them on the, he's done a Donald Trump on the, grabbed them on the
pussy. Yeah.
But he was doing Frankenfurter. How many times did he get accused of, but it's part of the show, isn't it? You're supposed to be doing that.
That's what I said. He was just being in character. And anyway,
over enthusiastic, maybe.
You're right. So Craig McLaughlin, nearly all of Neighbours and Home and Away stars became mega stars in England, which just shows you how desperate they are. And I can remember being in England 22 years ago.
That's right. You went to Wimbledon, didn't you?
Yeah. You're a Womble. Because I am a Womble, and I was roaming around Wimbledon, I felt totally at home. Now, Rollo, can I just tell you, speaking of Wombles, do you know what I found this week? Can I just tell you? I was walking out of the flat where I stay in Ashfield, and there was one of those Dyson stick vacuum cleaners with a charger lying on the ground outside the house.
They're worth a lot of money. They're worth $200.
They're worth more than that. $500.
Anyway, and it was fully operational.
Fully working. Nothing wrong with it. Anyway, so I threw it in my van. I went into my van and it was still charged. So I vacuumed. It had this spinning head that removes stuff. Anyway, so I threw it in my van. Anyway, I got home and out right where that was a almost new looking Dyson, the one with wheels on it, the bagless vacuum cleaner. Right. These are $700. Minimum $700. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I wonder if it works. The other one did. So I threw it in my van, took it onto the job the next day. It works perfectly. And then my friend, he said, oh, there's an old English lady and she's moving back to England. She just put everything out on the road yesterday. So everything I got is in perfect condition. Then this is Womble elite level here. And I'm looking at it now. I've got this giant metal, one of those 60s lamps that's got a big metal base with a huge big stainless steel curve and this big round part, like a downlight. Okay. I was sitting on the side of the road and I thought, I wonder if it works or not. And I jumped out of my van and I went, nah, this is too good. Look, it looks in perfect condition. I've got it in my lounge now and it's like a probably $300 or $400 lamp, maybe more.
My God.
It's like, I'm telling you, wombling pays. I am a wombling.
No, it's the universe. I'm a big believer in karma. I mean, it's just. You're there, the right place.
I have a terrible, terrible story, and I have to apologize to the universe for this one. Terrible story. No, because you know how I've got OCD, and I have to get to places, you know, at certain times, and you know, to fit my routine. I jumped in my van at Redfern to get. I needed to get to the next job so I could finish it to get on the road last night to get back home, and. I saw this strange-looking guy standing on the middle of the road, and I thought, I just ignored him. And I started my van up, and I was just letting it warm up a bit. And then I heard this knocking on my window, and there's a strange guy dangling. I couldn't tell if it was ropes or not, but it was actually charger cables. And I wound my window down. He goes, he was French, and he said, "My car's flat. You know, would you be able to charge it for me?" And I just went, "Oh no, I'm sorry. My van doesn't do that. It has special." You know, I completely lied to him.
Oh.
And I was driving there and I was thinking, you fucking...
The universe will forgive you.
No, well, I felt guilty. Look, honestly,
I know.
And I said to him,
We did something the other day, just the same. Yeah, someone was staggering on the road and, they were drunk driving. They were almost driving into oncoming traffic. And I said, should I call the, well, I haven't driven in a year and a half now. And I, even though I was two or three times over the limit, I'd never drive like this guy. This guy was like dead set. And we go on. I said, Christy, stay back. Cause like seriously, this guy is either going to hit a car that's stationary on the side of the road. Or drive into oncoming traffic.
Or a cleaner.
Or a child or whatever. So what? Or a cleaner. He turned left, and I had the number plate. I said, should I dob him in? But I just went, look, the universe will sort him out. He'll probably get home. Once he turned left, we turned right, and I said, oh, my God. It was horrible to look at, though. The way he was driving, it was like... Chrissy goes, I think this guy's pissed. And I go, Do you think so?
I'm on the road. I see it all the time. It's tradies coming out of the pub. They've been in there since 3:30 and they leave at about 6. And they've downed 10 schooners with their mates and they've gone back home. And you can watch them in front of you and they're going off. They're going off, gliding off the side of the road.
And you think, should you get involved? And then you go, well, that's not – it's really going above your pay grade to – I, as in, you know, social, you know, a social, what's it called? A social,
dilemma. Social dilemma.
No, social contract. A social contract. Should I go out of my road to,
ram
this guy in and, not in Christie's car. Things worth $60,000.
Can I tell you?
Rick and Roll at 48.
Rick and Roll.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Hello, everybody. This is Mrs. Pistrovsky. I'm Rollo's neighbor, and I've come over here to do some introduction stuff on this radio station. I've come over here to borrow a cup of milk from Rollo, but I'm going to do a voiceover. So it's Rick and Rollo episode number 48, and it's September the 27th, 1997. Is that right?
2025, Mrs. Petrovsky. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Rick. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell her to go. The steps are that way. Mrs. Petrovsky is she's very, very nice, but she's just fallen down the steps. Oh my God. And now Rosie's got her by the leg.
Just tell her,
oh
Rosie.
My God.
Eat her. Eat. Finish her off. Finish her off, Rosie.
Anyway,
Rick and Roland.
All right.
47.
Yeah.
48. Silly old bat. 1997, she said. No, it's 2025.
All right.
Now, I've got a funny story. We were just talking about what can happen when people do stupid things. Mm. A friend of mine, and he is a classic. He's always got a good story, and he will do things. If something goes wrong, he takes evasive measures, like at a different level. And he was he's a builder now, a very successful one. But he was just he had an old ute. And he had a drop saw and he had his drills and stuff. And he was building a fence for this couple in Newtown. And a couple of junkies, he left his, this is a bit a thing you about side of the road, because I pick things off the side of the road. Now, he'd left his drop saw out in the, where he was doing the fence. And these two junkies had driven past, seen it, and run over and grabbed it. But they didn't realize, you never pick on a, especially an Irish. He's not born in Ireland, but he's Irish descendant. Like he's like you. He's got Irish blood in him. And he was the wrong person to steal from. And so he jumped in his ute and tried to chase them. And he had this full on, they seen him behind in his ute and they took off. And he went, they were dodging down roads and they went down an alleyway and he thought, they've got to come out somewhere. So he just took a guess and he zoomed around the street, came down. And as they were just coming out slowly, he drove into them, rammed them. Their car flipped up and down. And this is outside a pub in Newtown. And everyone came out and was looking. And he jumped out with his hammer in his hand, ran up, grabbed his drop saw back. And these two junkies were like, didn't know what happened to them. They were upside down. Literally, they were hanging upside down. And nothing, no one rang the police. No police were involved. It was incredible. Mm. This guy does things like that. He's just out there. So you got to watch.
Give me a shout out. Give me a shout out.
Damon.
Whenever
there's someone got a story that outdoes everyone else's, he is that guy. You and him would get on very well.
Damon. He sounds like a champion. I've been actually watching some stuff that you've been posting during the week by a band called the Cosmic Psychos and the Body Hop. In that one where they drink, what is it? The beer that's laced, and then they ended up.
It's Wolf Creek parody, really.
Wolf Creek parody, yeah. I honestly laughed so hard because it reminded me of David Cronenberg. Because if you've ever seen a David Cronenberg movie like Scanners, the Fly, Heads Blowing Off, or the Fly,
the video is called. Better, something better, best, or something or other. I can't remember what it is, but that is such a funny video. Or I posted it.
There's quite a few of them that you posted today.
Well, I did because Susie won
that one.
Susie,
big shout out to her, right? Got to speak to her last week.
Happy birthday, Susie. 50 years old today. Yeah, right.
I got to speak to her.
Yeah, I know. And did I come home about 9 o'clock and I saw Rollo and Susie in there. Did I come on and interrupt or start, which I could have, and you probably would have enjoyed it, but I thought, no.
I would have.
They're doing a show, and it's good. It's a really good show with Susie and you having just a free-form chat on a Tuesday night, was it, or a Wednesday night? I think it was a Tuesday.
It was Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm just having a James Bogue beer.
Good on you.
And I'm enjoying them. I'll just tell you that. James Bogue Premium. Highly recommend this beer. We should be being paid by James Bogue, Rollo. Guaranteed. Okay. Now, Rollo, you had things to say.
I've got a whole list. No, no one died. I'm just going, golly, we crap a lot on this on Rollo's balcony. I'm just looking for that Cosmic Psychos.
Yeah, keep going right. Keep going up. It's about 20 posts.
Here we go. I think I'm almost there. There's the meanies. So the Cosmic Psychos song is, here it is, here.
Something better.
Oh, there's Doug Mulray. My God, here it is. It is, yeah, better, not bitter.
Better, not bitter, yeah.
Not bitter.
Now, that little video they did, it's classic. That is really funny. And I've told Susie to watch, there's a documentary that they put out, because I can talk all night about the Cosmic Psychos. There's only two left, I think, because the drummer's just quit. And now he's doing a podcast, okay. And I sent it to you. He calls himself Sir Knight or Sir Knighty or something or other, because his name is Ross Knight, is the main guy from the Cosmic Psychos. And he's doing a podcast now, and he's interviewing people, and he'll interview, guaranteed, Amy, because Amy and the Cosmic Psychos are mentoring Amy and the Sniffers, Amel and the Sniffers. Because Cosmic Psychos were on the same label. They had Butch Vig producing them at the same time as he was doing Nirvana. There was on Sub Pop. They were on Sub Pop in 1991 or 2. And they've got a, you know, because they've been around, they're the same age as me, I guess. You know,
I'm just reading what you wrote here to Susie with the Fuckwit City.
Yeah, it's called
they're a fantastic hard rock band from 78 or so. Those with the influences on grunge and the rock era, they were such on a sub pop table with Nirvana in the 90s. Really funny guys. The mentor for the Amel and the Sniffers.
They are.
And and Cosmic, and this is the Cosmic Psychos L7 clip from the documentary.
Yeah, so
Blokes You Can Trust.
Yeah, so L7 was it. Do you remember L7, that great song?
They had Andre.
And they had a few good songs. So Donita Sparks gets interviewed because she's over in Australia at the moment, I think, or was. And Ross is interviewing and doing his own podcast, and he's sponsored by, I guess, can you believe it, was it called that beer that we were drinking with zero alcohol, something normal?
Oh, yeah.
Completely normal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's sponsored by two different beers.
Yeah.
He's sponsored by the zero alcohol beer and another beer that, so, because basically their latest album was called I Like Beer, which I love, the song I Like Beer. The latest song. Mm. But they're an awesome band. And to me, I love thrash heavy rock. I don't want a keyboard solo by Rick Wakeman that goes for about 4-5 hours. They basically, like the Sex Pistols, they play three-minute, three chords songs with funny lyrics or pertinent lyrics or whatever. And Fuckwit City, which we played
Fuckwit City, and then is this one Feeling Average, which is a great tune too.
Because anyone out there, if an Australian says I'm feeling average, means they're feeling fucking terrible.
you've gone a bit hard the night before.
Yeah, and the vomiting scene at the end of that video is a classic, and they're throwing up different coloured vomit from a. He's got two angels. Really funny, but really good stuff. But, Trevand, and their documentary is called Blokes You Can Trust. And because Ross, and I was telling you, it's well worth watching, because Ross must have got into bondage or something or other, or what he was in. He ended up getting a girlfriend who was a bondage mistress from New York. And he brought her back to a little rural town where he's from, where he's a farmer in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And so she used to come down to the pub with him dressed up in her bondage gear. Can you imagine a pub? You know what country pubs are like? Very, very laid back, knockabout places. But to turn up with a chick wearing latex and bondage gear, there's really funny stories in it. Because she actually is part of the interviews, his ex-girlfriend. Really funny stuff. highly recommend Blokes You Can Trust by the Cosmic Psychos. Good band, man.
All right. To go into my studio so I can speak at a proper level.
Is this why you're very restrained at the moment?
Yeah, because I can hear my neighbours and I don't want to, you know, if I speak at this volume, I don't want to piss.
Rollo, it's good that you've actually got empathy for your neighbours because you didn't have any for your last one.
Well, they're great neighbours. They gave me away the other day when I came back with my two bottles of vodka and my Red Bulls, and they had a late night, and I was just chilling on the balcony, and it didn't bother me, but I don't want my voice to impinge on their chat, because my voice is ridiculously loud. You know it.
It is. But what you were doing, and I'll just have to repeat this to anyone that hasn't listened to the old Rick and Rollo shows or on Facebook Psychologist, you were sitting on your balcony with that speaker that you had like an old Marshall amp that had really bad connection levels, and it would feedback, and you were playing fart podcasts. That's Fakeologist Australia Roundtable for anyone out there who's listened to them. And anything we did on Fakeologist at about 11, you had it set to 11, like the Spinal Tap video, and it was feedbacking and making cracking noises and like,
it was awful.
And you were playing that till maybe 3 a.m. and your neighbor, poor Woz's wife, I think, she was the one that was.
How I got away with it, I don't know, but it all came to a crashing end. Obviously COVID and, police overreach and, no wonder I ended up being, put behind bars and raped and whatnot.
And put into the psych ward at the hospital where you had to count bricks. Oh. That was funny. That was a really funny.
That room. Yeah, where they don't arrest you. They just stick you into a.
So they ring an ambulance.
Stick you into a room with a whole bunch of other loonies. Of other psychos.
Yep, other loonies.
And it was actually, I look back on it now, not with fondness, but it was interesting.
No, because I was going through the whole thing with you because you were ringing me at 2 a.m. I'm just going to go and jump off the bridge, and I was like, Rollo, make sure. You picked the highest point of that bridge.
The highest point of Stockton Bridge is 30 metres till the water. And if you don't hit the water correctly at 30 metres, you die.
Yeah.
It's basically concrete. It's like hitting concrete. You may as well.
No, I had Christy ringing me saying, have you seen it? Have you heard? He won't answer my calls. This is going, I'm talking about, in the middle of, the night, or what I call the night, 2 a.m, 3 a.m. I give tough love though. I was telling you, go and jump. Make sure you jump off.
Well, she was the same. She was the same, a bit like Peter Sellers when he threatened in that book to his wife that he's going to jump off the balcony. And then she looks at him and says, I'll meet you down there.
The hands down greatest book. If you must read a book of the damage of alcohol and how it impedes mental health and the threats of suicide on your family or the poor. The children particularly, and your wife, because is that book which I've got on my shelf somewhere, and I'm in here looking. It's called "I'm the Voice Left from Rehab" by James Freud, pseudonym.
James Freud, that's right. He was with the what band was he
model,
with?
The model.
Yeah.
And Colin Nogue's band. He played. Like she, because He had everything going for him. He was extraordinarily good looking. He was a good musician. He could sing. Mm-hmm. He had everything, but he was an alcoholic, and he literally drank himself to death and eventually committed suicide. But before he got to the stage of committing suicide, he would, in front of his children, drunk, say, "I'm going to bring a rope," and say, "Right, I'm going off to kill myself now." And so the children had to sit there watching their father. Oh my, this book puts you off alcohol. Yeah, when I say puts you off alcohol, puts you off drinking yourself to death like he did. And he did. And he...
James Randall Freud, born Colin Joseph McKinley.
McKinley.
McKinley, yeah, you got it right. Yeah, 59-2010.
Yeah.
Musician songwriter, was a member of the Models during the 80s and then wrote the two popular singles Barbados and Out of Mind, Out of Sight. Oh, that was a great song.
What a song.
Out of Mind, Out of Sight.
So he had everything. He had a career. He had he was a good looking guy that could sing, play, but he was a great bassist and a guitar.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. So Freud married Sally Clifton in November 1983. Sally had written four books, including Thank You, A Good Night, A Backstage Pass to Australian Rock and Roll, in the industry. Together, they had two sons, Jackson and Harrison. Brothers formed their own rock band, Sonic Dogma, in 2005, and later became Attack of the Mannequin. So the kids have done all right. The band was managed by Freud.
They had to put up with their father.
Yeah, his two autobiographies, I Am the Voice Left from Drinking, 2002, and I Am the Voice... Left from Rehab in 2007. Yeah.
That's the best one. Because when you read The Voice Left from Rehab, what he does, he admits that that whole entire book, the first one on The Voice Left from Drinking, which is actually the lyrics that song, you just mentioned it before, Barbados.
Barbados. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the lyrics from that song. He wrote a book saying, "I've got clean, everything's fine, don't worry about me." But he was lying because he was drinking. You've got to read it, Roller. You'll identify big time with it, because he was going down to Aldi and places like that and buying wine and just going to the park and drinking himself to oblivion and wanting to kill himself every day. And this is a guy that had everyone, you know, the respect of the music industry behind him. He had friends. He had two beautiful kids and a beautiful wife. But he had something in his head that said, "You've got to kill yourself. You're useless. You're terrible. You're a bad guy." And so he just threatened to kill himself every night. And it's horrific what he did.
So on the fourth of November 2010, Freud was found dead in his home in Hawthorne, Melbourne. A week earlier, the 27th of October, the Models were inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame without Freud attending the ceremony. His absence was explained due to his commitments being in his management of his sons. James' battle with alcoholism has been well chronicled with his two books and his recovery. I've got a book in front of me. It's called George Best, A Memoir. Fantastic. By Michael Parkinson.
There's another one. A guy that had everything going for him and he drank himself to death. You know, the guy had money.
There are the talent. Keith Moon.
Another one. There's another one. These guys died from alcohol, and same with Jimi Hendrix. Well, actually, forget about Jimi Hendrix. He got murdered, guaranteed. You're listening to
Rick and Rollo. Rick and Rollo 48. What an uplifting subject.
No matter what you're in.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
And you're listening to Rick and Rollo, episode number 48 on the 27th of September 2025. Back to my host, Rick and Rollo.
Thank you. King Charles? Or is it?
I have no idea.
What a funny little man. Okay, yeah. Anyway, so George Best memoir is a classic read.
Well, actually, Tyler, I gave it. I bought that for you. I found it. I did.
Yeah.
Great book. Yeah. It tells you the same story. He could not cope with, and he was Irish, of course. The same with McClinchy's an Irish name as well. So there's something about the Irish that they get destroyed by alcohol and allow it to happen. It's a gene. Is it a gene? Is there such a thing as genes? Not on psychologists.
We were watching. What were we watching last night? It was a bit woke. That's why I didn't want to continue with it because I was at my wife's place or my ex-wife's.
With a better TV,
watching the Tulsa King season 3. Oh, yeah. So, you know, Stallone. But just while I was making dinner, she put on a Netflix thing called The House of Guinness, how they made their money. Yes. And it looked good. It was the production values were through the roof. It looked really good, but it seemed so woke, like all the women. You know, the men were like effeminate
That's Netflix for you.
Netflix, I know, it's woke. I can't watch this. Whereas Tulsa King, you know, Stallone doesn't do anything that's woke. It wasn't as good as the early Tulsa Kings, but it was awesome to see, you know, the guy that played the Silver Terminator, Robert Patrick. Do you remember him?
Yes. He's still around.
How old does he look now?
He looks really old.
70.
Really.
Like and Russell Crowe, did I? You saw that Russell Crowe picture I showed you today where he's in that Nuremberg movie that's coming out this year?
But he looks fantastic. He's playing an old German. What's his name? The big fat guy, Hitler's wife.
Hermann Göring.
He's not playing Himmler. He's playing Göring, big fat.
But looking at a picture of him that you posted of him in, what was that computer movie with?
Virtuosity. So I got.
But he looked even better in that movie where he played with Jack Thompson with. His first movie with
Some of Us. The gay.
Good he looked in that. Yeah, he was gay. That's right. He was. Yeah.
And that's shot in Balmain. So when you see the pub scenes in Some of Us, that's the London Hotel in Balmain, which is still going on.
Awesome.
Yeah, great pub.
He knew he had greatness in him. I think he definitely looked his best in Gladiator in 2000. I don't think he ever looked any better than that. And that made him a megastar. We were talking about last week.
Good movie. What a great movie. And he ended up, and he got to meet and actually kind of become friends with the single greatest.
Oliver Reed.
The greatest drunk actor of all time.
Drunkenly tried to outdrink young sailors in a pub one night.
No, he did.
And died. And cost the production like $5 million because they had to
$5 million.
They had to what do they had to do? Like computer generate him for like because they'd almost filmed his scenes.
Yeah, but they hadn't finished the scenes. So they had to use CGI, which you can tell if you watch it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of scenes, but that's not Oliver Reed. Now, Oliver Reed, to me, I shouldn't say that my heroes, but these were like Richard Harris, Oliver Reed, all those Irish actor types, and Peter, O'Toole. Yeah.
Did you see that David Cronenberg thing I sent you? It was one of the first times David Cronenberg had worked with Oliver Reed, and he said he was a joy to work with. Hold on.
He probably got on with him. Oliver Reed's father, you know, his father was nasty to him. Oliver did if you listen to his actual, that's why.
Oh, sounds like my father. Sounds like my father.
Very, very similar. Eerily similar, I will say that. Nothing.
Do you know what my father gave me? Do you know what my father gave me? Apart from a house, just disappointment. That's mostly what he gave me.
Yeah, but he gave you financial.
Yeah, that sounds so sad, doesn't it?
Yeah, no.
He didn't really give me the house. He gave the house to my mother, and my mother died, and then she gave me the house. So it's sort of, this is probably stuff we shouldn't be talking about. But anyway,
you've already talked about it ad nauseum on Fakeologist.
Tell me about Oliver Reed's father. What made him so sensational?
Oliver came from a very, upper middle class family. Oliver had dyslexia, which I do suffer from a little bit as well.
He couldn't read scripts. You can kind of memorize things, but
everything that he did was never good enough. And Oliver would come back and say, he goes, Peter. No, that's why they call mother and father Peter and Mater upper middle class or rich family. But he became, he was the captain of the rugby team. He was he joined the army, and he was supposed to be an officer in the army. He was supposed to be, but because he couldn't read the exams properly, they said, look, you're a good soldier, but you're not ever going to be an officer because you can't read the stuff that you need to learn. And so he was a fantastic athlete. He was doing one arm push ups the night he died.
Did he ever please his father before his father passed away? No, he didn't. If his father only knew what a megastar he became.
He'll never be forgotten.
I mean,
not to me.
Who was the interview where he fell off the chair when he was talking to
Parkinson?
No, it wasn't Parky.
No, sorry.
Was it Charlie's someone?
No, you're right. It's one of those other great British
interviews. Yeah, and you think he'd be embarrassed. He just had a laugh,
Well, the thing is that if you had, and they would deliberately bring on Oliver Reed because they knew that guests would like, and Rod Stewart was another one.
Do you know who didn't like him? The Goodies. For some reason, they had it. I listened to the DVD commentary and the one where Bill Oddie was playing Oliver Reed drunk, and they said how much they disliked him as a human being, whereas
because he was a big bully. He was a bully. He would and did you see that song? Did you see the Ozzy Osbourne thing that I posted about him being, Ozzy Osbourne, you'd never think would be intimidated by anyone because he's about 6'2" and he had been to jail and everything. He said he was in a bar and he looked over and he suddenly saw Oliver Reed walked in. That must have been like an upmarket bar somewhere. And he said he couldn't believe how big, because Oliver Reed's about 6'3" he's a big guy.
Intimidating.
And Ozzy said, he goes, I was fucking terrified. I looked over and I said, he goes,
Can't you do it? I was fucking terrified.
No, he said, that's what he said, but he said, Oliver got seen him and he came over and he goes, yeah, rock star. He goes, I see you got some tattoos and, Ozzy reckons he was terrified, and he goes, "Oh yeah, a lot of homemade tattoos on his arm." And Oliver said, "I've got a tattoo. Do you want me to show you?" And he goes, "Oh, I thought he was going to roll up his sleeve and do it." And he took his pants down, and he's got his cock with a massive tattoo right down the middle of it, whatever. And Ozzy just said, you know, he was
Creepers. It's not Wendy, you know, when he's got a hard on. Welcome to Barbados. Have a nice day.
I don't know, whatever it was. he pulled it out on the bar and said, and Ozzy, you know, because to have Ozzy Osbourne intimidated by someone means that this guy is out there, because he is an aggressive, big bear of, as Ozzy says, a bear of a guy. But he flopped it out.
I wonder if he'd met Lemmy. Lemmy, Killmaster.
I don't think these guys were intimidated, but Oliver Reed was intimidating, because if you see him, you watch his interviews, and there's one that he's got, he's there with really famous people, and when someone says something and you see him, he points his head at the guy, and you can tell he's genuinely aggressive towards this, whoever that person is. I think it was
well, he wouldn't take it from anyone. Some woman was calling him being sexist or something, and
Didn't she
pour a drink over his head or something?
What's that movie? About the ship, the Poseidon Adventure. Famous English American actress who was more intimidating than Oliver Reed. She didn't back down to him. She just walked up and tipped a bucket of.
You want me to look it up? Poseidon Adventure.
The lead actress from Poseidon Adventure. Famous, big. She was very good looking when she was young, but she became kind of a big, intimidating. She would not back down either. Very tough woman. What's her name? Why can't I remember her name?
Give me a sec.
Shelley Winters.
Here we go.
Shelley Winters would not put up with his the way he carried on, and picked a tray of drinks.
Gene Hackman was in that. One of my favorite actors of all time. Yeah.
That was a massive movie, The Poseidon Adventure.
Ernest Borgnine. Oh yeah, we didn't get all through the Towering Inferno last week when we brought it up, because of the ensemble cast.
Yep.
You know, and I thought Robert Redford's theme was in it, but stupidly me, it wasn't. It was Steve McQueen
and OJ
Simpson. Oh, let's go through like the ensemble cast. I don't know, how did they get so many famous actors in
Irwin Allen blockbuster, and I think I think a lot of the actors.
Richard Chamberlain was in it. Yep. He was a bastard, wasn't he? He was a real.
He was the architect, wasn't he?
He's the one that died when they tried to get him on the chair to go between the towers or something,
because they have cheap wiring in the building, catches on fire.
Yeah.
So you can fit the Towering Inferno in with Bruce Willis's Die Hard as well, kind of about a big building.
They're not safe.
And you can see where it was leading to. That was 2001, September the 11th.
Your mate's in it as well, that you're not a huge fan of, because you had to
Robert Wagner.
You had to do his security for him. Yeah. So we got Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, William Holden, Faye Dunaway, Fred Astaire, Susan Blakely, Richard Chamberlain, Jennifer Jones, O.J. Simpson, Robert Vaughn, Robert Wagner, Susan Flannery, Norman Burton, Jack Collins, Sheila Matthew Allen. So some of these aren't that. Debbie Coleman, he's quite famous. John Crawford, sorry, my bad. Ross Elliott. But like seriously, that's an ensemble cast.
From 1970, you had Airplane, which was about a plane getting hit by a small, you know.
Airport 77, are you thinking? No, Airplane was flying high.
There was one before Airport 77. There was this Airport, and then there's Airport 77.
Oh,
and
okay.
They were basically telling you that flying is dangerous. And then there was ants. Then there was piranha. And there was flying piranha and piranha.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right. There was the bee. There was bees. Swarms of bees were evil. They got demonized and it.
Oh, they love. They love those disaster films, didn't they?
So the 70s yeah. was from.
I think it got. I think Stallone, Spielberg did the best with that, with the shark. And the yeah. sad part was Peter Benchley, who wrote the book, became a bit of a Moby, shark, you know, animal rights yeah. down his arm. And, well, and you know, vegan bloke.
Getting slaughtered, you know, Peter Benchley's yeah. book.
Because everybody was frightened of getting, yeah. Did you like that photo of Spielberg lying there in, they called the shark Roger, didn't they? Was it Roger or Bruce? Like or Bruce?
Yeah, Bruce the shark. Bruce.
Yeah.
I don't know why they call it Bruce. So, anyway,
I watched a few things during the week because of what you mentioned last week. I watched the Sacha Baron Cohen where he said, "If I'd played Freddie Mercury," he was talking to Howard Stern. You know, I would have. It would have been a lot better movie, but the way they did it, they fucked it up. And I think he wanted to, you know, I mean, everyone thinks of Sacha Baron Cohen as Ali G or Borat or something, but he would have made it good. But
it was a terrible story, and that what you sent today. That guy that does the what's it called? The pitches. You know, he pitches.
The pitch meeting where he goes, it's good because I made it up. It was all made up,
the whole lot, all the story of that the Queen.
The only good part in it was the music. But the rest of it was mostly bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, and that guy that does the pitches, the pitch YouTube.
Ryan George, yeah. He's hilarious, and he's Canadian. He can take the piss out of himself. He has a go at Daniel Craig in a James Bond movie. He goes, what a dickhead. He's got two first names, and his name's Ryan George. So, and a lot of people didn't get that gag, and I got the joke, and he wrote back to me and said, "Yeah, you're the first one that actually got that gag." You know,
fantastic. Oh, they are well worth watching. Those pitch things of all the movies. That basically it's him arguing or talking. He's selling up the movie, and he's telling you that there's nothing true in these movies. And he goes, "But this is a biopic, not a documentary." So you can say whatever I want, you know. I'm not doing a documentary. I'm doing a biopic. So biopics.
He puts a lot of work in there. He puts lots of work into those, and it's made him a millionaire, and he deserves it.
Has it? Has it?
Oh yeah, made him a millionaire. Fantastic. Yeah, because how many subscribers every ad on YouTube gets you $8. And so if you get 2 million views, the money starts flowing in. I mean, YouTube's starting to get a little bit funny now that they.
I'm over YouTube.
They don't look.
How much does it cost to get out of the adverts? $10.
But the thing is, I've heard if you put those ad bloggers on there, it can mess with your phone. It can mess with your. Computer, well, whatever, your laptop.
Speaking of that, I have had issues. Like, I went to try and ring you tonight to come back on to say, well, you're listening to
Rick and Roller.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too. Clicking on the donate link, truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
And you're listening to Rick and Earl, episode number 48 on the 27th of September 2025. Back to our house. Eek and
thank you, Roland Rocchicelli. What a funny little man. Okay, so I've made a whole list of things to talk about. Okay. So we might as well just go through them in order, shouldn't we?
Well,
do
not?
You have a list? Do you have a list?
No, I have a list.
You're on my list. Well, my first thing on my list is James Remar sacked for doing heroin and hash. Now, why would I write that down? Now, there was a movie called Alien. It was Aliens in 1986.
Yep, seen it.
And a fella called Michael Biehn played Corporal Hicks.
Yes.
But he wasn't the first actor for the role. It was James Remar, who now plays the ghost dad for Dexter on Dexter Resurrected.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Yeah, and he said, there was an old time you'd go into rehab or anything, but not back in 1986, he says, I got into heroin and hash in Turkey or something where they were shooting, and James Cameron just sacked him on the spot and just did a last-minute call to Reese from Terminator, like, you know, him and Gail Ann Hurd, the young guy, got him to take over the role. And he said, fuck yeah, I'll take the role. And he didn't have to do anything. He just turned up. It didn't have to do any workouts and whatnot. The other thing I saw the other day, which was quite amusing, The Wrestler. Remember the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke?
Yes, yes, of course I do.
Who was first cast? Nick Cage was. And he couldn't bulk up. He couldn't bulk up to become wrestler size. And he said, Mickey Rourke, I think Mickey Rourke somehow had it first, but they thought Nick Cage would be a bigger name for the movie. But then Nick Cage couldn't bulk up, and he said, I'm not doing steroids. I just don't want to put the weight on.
So I want to say this again.
Yeah.
Having spent a lot of, and I'm talking about many decades in gyms, you cannot get to that size without using steroids. And Mickey Rourke was definitely shooting up real Diana Bowl, Deckard Ramblin. I know them all.
Yep.
He was definitely using to get their role. Now, Nick Cage is a really skinny guy. There's no way he would have played the wrestler. Yet, they would do that. Hollywood casting agent.
Well, they could have put a suit on him, like not a muscle suit type thing.
Yeah, like a muscle suit.
The budget was big enough for that, and they wanted to spend the money on the. In other areas, I think, but he was perfect. Mickey Rourke was perfect. Who was his girlfriend in it?
Find me another actor that could have played that role. Apart from, there's a whole lot of red.
Okay, let me think.
Some wrestlers, The Rock. The Rock.
But to put the humanity into it, like. That Mickey Rourke put into, you know, The Rock doesn't have that. I've seen Rock movies. The humanity he just doesn't have.
Relatability. No one else could have pulled that movie off as good as Mickey Rourke.
It was so good. It's just the best. And I just love the fact that Nick Cage said, "All right, I'll just give it up." Do you know he was going to play Superman in? And that fell through. Would you have believed Nick Cage flying around?
No.
It was idiotic.
But when I see Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas, I believe it 100%. 100%. He plays an alcoholic shopping.
He was perfect for that role. Him and Elizabeth Shue out of Back to the Future.
Yep.
Perfect. Oh my god, and she oh like that it do you want to know some trivia about that? The guy that wrote that book, that it was based off. It wasn't Bukowski. No. This is depressing, but you'll have to get over it. Got paid $2 million for the book and the script to use Leaving Las Vegas. Wow. And basically killed himself two weeks later. Wow. He was that. Yeah, he killed himself, and they kind of use it as a suicide note, I think.
I think I know who you're talking about. I think it's in my
memory. Yeah. I would not bullshit. Yeah. Make that. But yeah, Nick Cage, you know, I remember he goes in the bank and he can't sign a check or something, and he goes and buys a bottle of vodka or something and downs it in one go. I mean, who can do that?
I believe Nick Cage would give it a go, and I guarantee he couldn't do that, but. You've got to have an actor that it's like this is what I was talking about this yesterday. We brought this up over many the last few shows. Why do Hollywood casting agents pick an actress that does not fit the bill? Like particularly the diary. What's the name? The diary of that fat. She's supposed to be a fat English the character. The diary.
Annie Wilkes from Misery?
No, I'm talking about Renee Zellweger playing.
That was called. Now, what was that called? I remember the funny scene with her bum coming down the. Fire thing going up and down.
Yeah, but she had to fatten herself up. She had a broad Texas
that's
accent.
That's right. Hugh Grant and Colin Firth. Now it's called. Oh my God, I'm having a brain fart too.
I've got a permanent brain fart going on.
You got a permanent brain fart? All right, I'm gonna have to.
Renee Zellweger playing.
Renee Zellweger. That's right. She's had a rhinoplasty or something, and you can barely.
She didn't even look like herself. Yeah. Now she's trying to squint. Like she used to look like the same person she was, because people said,
She was cute in the first one, wasn't she? Okay, yeah. Renee Zellweger. I found her. Kathleen Zellweger, 56, is our age. It was called Bridget Jones's Diary.
Bridget Jones's
in 2001.
Okay. Now, why would you employ, there's so many fat British actresses they could have employed, particularly,
Yeah,
comedian. What's her name that used to play with the from Ab? Not on Ab Fab, but she was. Lenny Henry's wife. I'm talking about. She's a fat English actress that would have been perfect for the role of Bridget Jones. The girl that's she was one of the comic strip productions.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. His wife. I know who you're talking about. It's the one from Absolutely Fabulous.
It's her offsider. And she did comedy act together. And she's a large English actress who would have been perfect for the role of Bridget Jones. Overweight. Yeah.
You should be a casting agent. What do you think of the Australian chick that had to put weight on to get that role? 1994?
Tony Collette.
Yeah, where she put all that weight on.
Yeah, and she's a skinny actress.
Muriel's. Oh, you're terrible. Muriel's
terrible. Yeah. And she fattened herself up. But what? If you were an agent, and I have met Australia's best casting agent, and I used to sit, this is on The Matrix and a few other things. She was actually a casting agent on The Matrix. I used to sit and have these incredible conversations with this woman, because when you're on a film, there's nothing, often nothing is happening. Nothing happens. So you're sitting around talking to people. And I was getting paid to sit around and talk to people. And she was
well. You were security. Why didn't you get a gig? Why didn't you edge your way in there somehow?
I did. I played a New York. It's N-O-O York. That's John Le Bon.
You were an extra.
Yeah, yeah. I played a few New York cop and a. No idea what it was, but I had to put on this hat and uniform and dark glasses.
Why not?
Yeah. But anyway, this she told me that how she'd recruit for film, and she's still around, this woman.
Mm.
But what baffles me is that if you've got a show like, you know, Bridget Jones' Diary, it requires a overweight English actress who, you know, falls in love with this really good-looking guy. And they pick the right guys, but why would you get Renee Zellweger, who was like, say, 5 foot four at best, maybe 5 foot three, skinny as a rake?
Well, sometimes they get it wrong, Rick. I mean, for Misery, they originally wanted, the producers wanted Michelle Pfeiffer to play Kathy Bates' role.
I know.
In that, when she hobbles
James Caan, no one else could have looked as evil as Kathy Bates.
What do you call me when I've been a bad boy? You call me a dirty bird, right?
That's what she says on the movie. You dirty bird.
I know.
Now, to be honest,
Kathy
Bates scares me. She does scare me. You know, she's got that.
Yeah.
She deserved it because she played a perfect role.
Do you know what the subtext of that movie was? Do you know what the subtext was? It was written by Stephen King, and Stephen King didn't like his obsessive fans. So he wrote that book about an obsessive fan. So Stephen King, in his own mind, was lying in that bed while there was an obsessive fan who had all the power while he had... Are you looking for this? I found your key, which was like a hairpin. I found your knife. And now I'm going to hobble you. And his ankle goes right. Oh, my God, it was
in the book of Misery, she actually cuts his leg off.
Oh, yes, I've read the book. Oh, yeah, it's a lot more graphic. They made it Steven Soderbergh, I think, did the movie. And he relaxed it a little bit. So we didn't get his feet cut off. No, we didn't. I think with the sledgehammer with the block of wood
And James Caan, he was perfect in that role. Because he's a great actor.
And the way she goes afterwards, when he's like in agonizing pain, God, I love you.
Yeah.
the way she does and delivers that line, I love you.
It was interesting that
I love that movie.
That Stephen King put out a whole series of books with a pseudonym called Richard Bachman.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've just released a new one, The Longest Walk or something.
Because he's
such a raging Trump derangement syndrome guy now. A lot of people don't like him.
Can I talk about Trump for a second?
Okay, yes, so he went to the UN. He went to the UN this week. Not only did the UN fuck with the escalator, so him and Ivana got on the escalator and they stopped it and they almost tripped over. This is how petty and pathetic the UN are. So they had to walk up. Okay, so then he gets up there on stage. And then the fucking teleprompter doesn't work. And he just goes, whoever's in charge of this, they're in big trouble with me. And then they fuck with his audio. So half of them can't hear what the hell he's saying. And he read off his script and he just lambasted the UN. And the best thing for this world would be get rid of the UN. because all it's doing is homogenizing and is taking culture away from the, you know, the, like, it's they just want everywhere to be the same. It's a bit like Australia. In some towns, all you've got is a McDonald's, a KFC, and, you know, it just, you know,
and you're right in the middle of it where you are. I see the same thing in Port Macquarie, but guaranteed. You drive along and you have a mattress factory or whatever it's called. There's a mattress wholesaler. There's a pet barn. There's a Bingley.
But they want that human beings all over the world. So no culture whatsoever.
No culture. So that little corner shop that you used to go to that was privately owned and sold, you know, they made their own burgers, whatever. They don't want that anymore. Mm. They want everyone to have a Subway, a Bing Lee, a Good Guys, a mattress factory, or, you know, or whatever that bed company
that's
is.
Why, if we go out tonight, I think rather than go out with a song, we should go out with that thing that you sent me, the best of Trump at the UN. You know, with when he just did sick burn after sick burn about these people. No, and he's looking at them.
He was doing that off the top of his head. I guarantee you now there was there was no script needed.
The teleprompter did actually, I did notice, did start working about 6 minutes into, but he was given sick burn after it. He was pissed off about the elevator. I mean, that was just childish to try and get him to trip up over Melania. I mean, that is childish. And, then the teleprompter, I mean, What's going on? Why are we paying for the UN?
No, exactly. No, but what it is saying that he is definitely a rogue and they want to deliberately fuck him up and to make you look stupid for supporting him.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you now, talking about media fakery and media, how sickening the media fakery is going. The Sydney Morning Herald, which is, again, an abbreviation.
What are they up to?
Shaking my head. Well, they've got, because Trump literally refuses to talk to Anthony Albanese, because he's been told, obviously, this guy is a loser. He's got no credibility. You do not even, you know, he can't even say the word Australia. Australia.
Do you know he's coming here next month? And you know,
I know. Well,
people online are calling MAGA, make Albo go away.
It's so funny. That is so funny. But that's so true.
Really?
The guy. Look, I live when I'm in Sydney with he bleeds blue, or is it red? Which is Labor? Red or blue? I think it's red.
I think Labor is red here, but yeah, it's funny. It's opposite to America. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, anyway, he can't stand Anthony Albanese. He's part of the Labor Party. Tells me stories. No one can. No one likes
him. Can you do Australia. An impression of him?
I'm from Australia. Hello,
we've got Anthony Albanese on the line. We've got President Trump coming here next week. Have you got anything positive to say?
I'd like him to come to Australia so he can tell me how wonderful I am. This guy cannot even speak. He can't say the word Australia. He is an imbecile. And no one likes him over here, except for there are obviously fans out there that think he's good.
Why is it every time you say imbecile? Rick and Rollo.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Go.
All right, Rick and Rollo, 48, Saturday, 27th, September, 2025. Yeah, we are talking about the great Donald Trump. All right, he's not perfect, but he's not a He's not this, you know, great monster, the blue-haired people who have rings in their noses, and I'm talking about through the septum noses. Your daughter has one.
Yeah.
Well, does she have Trump derangement syndrome? Tell me she doesn't.
No.
Well, I don't. And look, I mean, Trump, I don't think he handled COVID-19 as best he could, Operation Warp Speed and all of that. But anyway, look, I just think that the UN, these people they're a bunch of mouth breathing. A bunch of cunts is probably right too. I don't know if we're allowed to say that. Yes, we are.
Of course we are.
We're on Truth Meat, so we can say what the fuck we like. Yeah, yep. But to be so petty to fuck with the escalator and the teleprompter and the audio, and it still didn't bother him. But there was one other thing. Oh, yeah, this is one I want to talk about, and then we can go freebase. The transgender thing, with that Charlie Kirk. I never knew who Charlie Kirk was, but anyway, killed by, a transgender. It's now gone so toxic.
As soon as you see the word manifesto or scribbled names on bullets, whatever, insert words, it's fake. Nothing happened. As soon as you
Did you see the video of Charlie getting shot in the neck?
Many times. Yeah, I've seen them.
Do you think it's fake or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Do you think it's David Cronenberg?
Let me just say this. If Cronenberg had have directed it, his whole head would have exploded over everybody standing in there.
What was it, Michael Ironside?
Michael Ironside in Scanners.
Yeah. Now, my question is this. Okay. Michael Ironside's head fully explodes, and it's one of the best practical effects I've ever seen in my life. How is it the dude sitting next to him with a bright white shirt and a tie
doesn't get
one single drop of...
It's the same with all the people that helped Charlie Kirk into the car. There's no blood on there.
You're calling fakery on the chat,
100%. Oh, yeah,
100%. You're fully allowed to do. Yeah. Here
well, on I've about two weeks ago, I had Silas Weeks come on, and he actually did.
He's enough. A nice guy. Yeah, the guy from Scotland. Yeah, I really like the guy.
My new name. Well, he's like, he comes on, and he throws so much information out. I end up sounding like a complete imbecile. Like,
thank you, Ray Hadley. Every time you say that, I think of Ray Hadley. Sorry.
Well, I do, and I did. and it's been, he's come on, he did a show on Fakeologist with even more stuff after the stuff
that's
he did.
Right.
That,
that's right, the Be Told. You did a Be Told.
Be Told was Be Told was all speaks. Solar Speaks breaks it down, and I'm sitting there going, looking like a complete imbecile.
and he's not even 30, he's about 30 or so,
incredible. I now call him Silas, Silas the info virus. He came on and just took over the show and just made me look like an idiot because I was going
when you have more intelligent people, when I spoke to our number one fan, Susie, last week, I'd had probably a bottle and a half of vodka and probably...
Is that all?
Yeah, I know. And she was the intelligent one. I was the...
She picked up
the audio, how to do the audio and the AI for that... The vegan, what's it called, Klaus Schwab.
Vegan vinegar.
Yeah, and she said she learned it in like 2 weeks.
I think
She should have called it vegan adrenochrome, actually, because I told call it 5,000 something. Sorry, I'm just killing a moth, and I just successfully killed a moth. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you should be killing moths. I think I'm not a vegan. I'm going to hang up on you. No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a maybe. I'm not a maybe. Why the hell would you get as beautiful as that song is? Body Rock is a good song, but I like that.
Has Moby ever had a girlfriend or children or been married? I don't think so.
You want me to look him up? Has he had a girlfriend or?
Yeah, or anyone? I think he might be
right now. Okay, maybe.
Moby's girlfriend. He does lisp a bit. I just have to say that he lisps a fair bit. But that album, Play by Moby is every song on it is class A song. He is definitely.
So Richard Melville Hall, born September 11, 1965. My goodness, known professionally as Moby.
Is he really born on September 11, 1965? Okay. Well, I'm calling. That's a bit suspicious.
So, with Richard Melville, yeah.
So that's the reason they must have called him
Born in New York City.
Melville was the name of the guy that wrote Moby Dick. So that's why they've called him Moby, or he calls himself Moby.
All right, let's go to his personal life. So Moby lived in New York City for 21 years. From 1996 to 2010, he lived in an apartment on Mott Street, where he also recorded his albums. He relocated to Hollywood Hills area of Los Angeles, spending $4 million to purchase a castle known as the Wolf's Lair, built in 1927 by developer L. Milton Wolf, spending additional $3.5 million to restore it. He owns an apartment in Little Italy, Manhattan. In 2014, sold the castle and downsized to a small home. Now, it doesn't say a lot about...
No girlfriend.
Here we go. This is what you want. Moby identifies himself as a heterosexual and cisgender in a 2018 interview with The Guardian. He claims to have felt disappointed to be straight, disappointed in quotes, to be straight. He does date, has stated that he feels more comfortable alone than in a relationship. In 2016.
I agree with him. I feel more comfortable by myself.
Join the club. Join the club, mate. They call us incels. You know what that
incels.
Means?
Incels. It's volcel because I'm voluntary staying away from relationships.
Volcel.
Yeah, not incel. Incel means you don't want to. Look. I've done enough damage to myself with relationships for 35 years. Non-stop in relationships. Non-stop. I couldn't go out 2 weeks. I'd be in another relationship. Over 35 years.
With another man.
No. thank you very much. No.
You've never had any homosexual, not like just beautiful women. Yeah, beautiful women.
When I was working on The Matrix. If someone said, did you find Carrie Ann Pitch? No, because I had a better looking girlfriend. Than Carrie Ann Moss. Guaranteed. Yep, guaranteed.
She looked great.
She was beautiful, but I wasn't standing around fantasizing about her because I had at that stage, in that particular stage, way better looking and way better body, girlfriend. Yeah, guaranteed.
You worked on the Australian version of the the David Hasselhoff thing with all the girls in the red Baywatch, the Australian Baywatch, didn't you? Yep. Yeah, so that's
a hard job. That's a hard job that nobody would.
It is, if you're going home after work and you've got a partner that's extraordinarily good looking, what would you be staring at some whole lot of extras, which I did do, to be honest. I had to look at, you know, there was a lot of good looking women taking it.
You're red hot blooded male is what we do when we
Remember Tania?
We're not young anymore.
No, we're not. Well, that's why I've given up. I'm not part of this whole sad relationship thing. Do you remember Tania Zayeta? She was an Australian. Was she an actress?
Tania Zayeta.
She was on Baywatch, and she was supposed to be good looking, but I never found her good looking. But she was good looking. Technically,
Tania Zayeta. That's the girl. Yeah. Oh my God, beautiful face.
Yeah. She was on Baywatch.
Australian actress. Yeah, 54 years old. She'd probably be very suitable. Says to Tania Zayeta, 2025. What does she look? Does she look like that anymore?
It's always funny, you know. You look her up.
I bet she doesn't.
No, she still looks cute.
She's obviously
a woman that you don't want to be anywhere near. She's on Instagram holding her phone up to mirrors, looking back at herself.
Yeah, as they all do.
That's a woman that you just you don't want to be around a woman like that, do you?
No.
Look, I'll show you. I'll post this photo to, seriously. Once you see that, I would run away. I'm not running away with anyone. I'll just run away from her. Oh, it's just, but there's Tania. Oh, why the hell didn't I put the photo up? Oh, it's on Instagram. Oh, I have to fucking download the fucking thing. All right, here we go.
Don't bother.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I could do it in a thrento second. There we go, Tania. There we go. I'll just post it there. Now, have a look at her. There we go, on Rollo's balcony. Tell me what you think of that photo there.
Ready? Ready.
Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Here comes the photo. There she is. Remember this song, she's saying. Look at her with her phone up, with the mirror. That's her in 2025. So she's still good looking.
Sorry, we've got no notifications. Right, Rollo's new balcony. Tania Zayeta images.
There you go.
Here we go.
You see it?
1, 2, 3, 4. Let's have a look. Yeah, she looks. Nah, she's had an awful lot of work done. If that's what she looks like now,
look at the highlights in her hair. The highlights in her hair.
Blonde.
That's not a wig.
That's her hair, for sure.
That's her real hair, yeah.
That's her hair.
Yeah.
But look how much money that would have cost.
Are you talking, mate, you mean Tania Zayeta from Who Dares Wins with Mike Whitney? Yes. Is that? Yes. I remember that from my childhood. She was a stunner back then. We're in a mall. Can you drink this glass of water through your nose? It's Who Dares Wins with Mike Whitney.
Yeah,
I remember Mike Whitney.
So Mike Whitney used to do this amazing show that was, I think it's still, is it still on? The Weekender show that was Mike Whitney.
Sydney Weekend. Well, that would have been, he's probably been dead for 20 years. God, that's all. I'm joking, but Mike Whitney fell out of the spotlight a long time ago, but I just, as soon as I heard the name Tania Zayeta when you said it, I was like, Tania Zayeta. She was Who Dares Wins, right? She was like the co-host who did all the sub challenges. Also, by the way, who you're looking at, absolutely fabulous, was French and Saunders, Dawn French, who did Vicar of Dibley, right? Vicar of Dibley, great show.
Dawn French would have made the way better choice of...
That's who I was trying to... Yeah, I can get
of,
that.
Of a fat, overweight English actress.
I loved Dawn French in Vicar of Dibley in the later seasons where she did those Christmas specials where she's like, she's like jumping into a puddle to be cute and it's like 6 foot deep and she just disappears under the ground or, you know, and she comes up like a hippo out of the water looking. There's some pretty funny funny comedy and that stuff.
And Vicar of Dibley, good show, great show. And she played a fantastic role as a overweight, you know, vicar, you know, blah, 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 blah. She was married to Eleni Henry, who was her husband, and he cheated on her, and that became a huge, big story in English media. But why would you get Renee Zellweger, scrawny, with a Texas accent, to play that same role when there was Dawn French that could have played it? Or Dawn French, Jennifer Saunders could have played the same role easily. But no, Hollywood always picks, for some reason, the casting agents say, no, no, we're going to find someone that has a Scottish accent that we're going to get them to play a Frenchman or whatever. They always pick the hardest challenges. Why do they do this? It's beyond me. I've got no idea. Instead of picking, you know, Sean Connery and what's his name, the French actor that played Rollo's favourite movie. Rollo, what's that movie we're talking about? Highlander.
Yeah, Russell Mulcahy.
Chris Lambert,
yeah.
Who was a French actor French accent, and he had to play a Scotsman. Yep. And then they bring in
Sean Connery. plays the Spaniard. Yeah.
It does not make sense.
Well, at least they got Clancy Brown right to play the American.
Now, whatever.
Can I ask Velocet,
have I got to play a fucking song?
Are you here for a little while?
I was going to go out and have a smoke.
This isn't a song.
Who would have thought? As soon as I come in, your whole shtick for the rest of the night, I should never, like, Velo. I only came in to get Dawn French off my chest and say that because I knew it and I was screaming at the radio when I heard it. That kind of thing. And then, you know what? As soon as he hears my voice, oh, Savello, we're going to play this. We're going to play that. We're going to play this. Savello, just play this. Play this. It's too much.
Bella.
You know, the charm of the show is you guys talking, not me playing songs.
It is the charm, but this is the charm. Rick sent this to me during the week. Can you play a little bit of this and can you start and stop when Rick wants to talk about it? It's about all what? The time. I sent it to Velo all the time.
What is it?
Trump Savage is the UN in his speech.
Oh, okay.
I just want
to.
Yeah.
Well, no, it got sent to me by another fellow Trump fanatic.
That's okay.
Like you. Yeah.
Who sent it to you? Do you want to name
Harry.
Them?
Harry.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Harry. It's freaking awesome. It's like it's cut down.
The country's going to hell.
So you got the best of.
I'm here to tell the truth. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Trump's speech to the UN is worth listening to in its entirety. But I've gathered all the satisfying moments where he slammed the UN and warned many of the countries of the path they are traveling down.
I don't mind making this speech without a teleprompter because the teleprompter is not working. I feel very happy to be up here with you, nevertheless. Mm. And that way you speak more from the heart. I can only say that whoever's operating this teleprompter is in big trouble. The fact is, United States has been taken advantage of by the world for many, many years, but not any longer, as you probably noticed. In a period of just 7 months, I have ended 7 unendable wars. They said they were unendable. Very honored to have done it. It's too bad that I had to do these things instead of
pause for a sec.
The United Nations doing that.
He has not stopped.
My wife, when I played this for my wife or my ex-wife, Chrissy, and she said, yeah, exactly what you said. Back that up, Donald.
What was?
Now, he did say he stopped. Did he help stop the Ukraine Russian thing? Oh, Rick and Rollo 48 with Velocet, special guest.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on TruthMeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And sadly, in all cases, the United Nations did not even try to help in any of them. They never even received a phone call from the United Nations offering to help in finalizing the deal. All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the first lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both that, in good shape. We both stood.
That
both in good shape.
And then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter. Thank you very much. And by the way, it's working now. It just went on. Thank you. I think I should just do it the other way. It's easier. But later I realized that the United Nations wasn't there for us. They weren't there. That being the case, what is the purpose of the United Nations? The UN has such tremendous potential. For the most part, at least for now, all they seem to do is write a really strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. It's empty words, and empty words don't solve war. Not only is the UN not solving the problems it should too often, it's actually creating new problems for us to solve. The best example is the number one political issue of our time, the crisis of uncontrolled migration. It's uncontrolled.
Yes. Our great.
Your countries are being ruined. The United Nations is funding an assault on Western countries and their borders. In 2024, the UN budgeted $372 million in cash assistance to support an estimated 624,000 migrants journeying into the United States. Think of that. The UN is supporting people that are illegally coming into the United States, and then we have to get them out. The UN also provided food, shelter, transportation, and debit cards to illegal aliens. Can you believe that? On the way to infiltrate our southern border. What took place is totally unacceptable. The UN is supposed to stop invasions, not create them, and not finance them. I encourage all countries to take their own stand in defense of their citizens as well. You have to do that because I see it. I'm not mentioning names. I see it, and I can call every single one of them out. You're destroying your countries. They're being destroyed. Europe is in serious trouble. They've been invaded by a force of illegal aliens like nobody's ever seen before. Illegal aliens are pouring into Europe. Nobody is ever, and nobody's doing anything to change it, to get them out. It's not sustainable. And because they choose to be politically correct, they're doing just absolutely nothing about it. And I have to say, I look at London where you have a terrible mayor, terrible, terrible mayor. And it's been so changed, so changed. Now they want to go to Sharia law, but you're in a different country. You can't do that. Both the immigration and their suicidal energy ideas will be the death of Western Europe. If something is not done immediately, this cannot be sustained. What makes the world so beautiful is that each country is unique. But to stay this way, every sovereign nation must have the right to control their own borders. You have the right to control your borders, as we do now, and to limit the sheer numbers of migrants entering their countries and paid for.
Is he like lecturing preschoolers on how to run their country? I don't get it. Like they made it this way. Why are they going to listen to him?
Yeah.
You and I agree with him, I'm sure. But like, why are we supposed to believe this is happening?
And the beauty of our borders is
because we're in the middle.
We got a huge ocean.
Yeah. We haven't been affected at all by any of this. No way.
No, well, we have. I mean,
yeah, okay. You go down to the 7-Eleven and buy your cigarettes here. From fucking Dajuk and
Bella. Bella is coming. Trump's coming here next month for my birthday.
He heard about it, did he?
Yeah, and you know what? Do you know what MAGA is?
I'm sure he'll tell you to get some of those Tesla power walls and you're wasting your solar, to be honest.
No, make Albo go away. Keep playing. He's doing. Yeah, make Albo go away.
Or by the people of that nation that were there and that built that particular nation at the time. They put their blood, sweat, tears, money into that country, and now they're being ruined. Proud nations must be allowed to protect their communities and prevent their societies from being overwhelmed by people they have never seen before, with different customs, religions, with different everything, where migrants have violated laws, lodged false asylum claims, or claimed refugee status for illegitimate reasons. They should, in many cases, be immediately sent home. When your prisons are filled with so-called asylum seekers who repaid kindness, and that's what they did, they repaid kindness with crime, it's time to end the failed experiment of open borders. You have to end it now. See, I can tell you, I'm really good at this stuff. Your countries are going to hell. You're doing it because you want to be nice.
He's on the money, man.
You want to be politically correct.
Oh, yeah.
You're destroying
I agree.
Your heritage. In 1982, the executive director of the United Nations Environmental Program predicted that by the year 2000, climate change would cause a global catastrophe. He said that it will be irreversible, as any nuclear holocaust would be. This is what they said at the United Nations. What happened? Here we are. Another UN official stated in 1989 that within a decade, entire nations could be wiped off the map by global warming. Not happening. Now they could just call it climate change, because that way they can't miss. It's climate change. Because if it goes higher or lower, whatever the hell happens, there's climate change. It's the greatest con job ever perpetrated on the world, in my opinion.
Fantastic.
Climate change, no matter what happens, you're involved in
that. That's true.
At extreme cost and expense, Europe reduced its own carbon footprint by 37%. Think of that. Congratulations, Europe. Great job. You cost yourself a lot of jobs, a lot of factories closed, but you reduced the carbon footprint by 37%. However, for all of that sacrifice and much more, it's been totally wiped out and then some by a global increase of 54%. Much of it coming from China and other countries that are thriving around China. If you don't get away from this green scam, your country is going to fail. And if you don't stop people that you've never seen before, that you have nothing in common with, your country is going to fail.
As a bonus, Trump even talked about the UN building that he could have renovated.
Hold on.
I'm going to leave that there.
Hold on. That was good.
There's nothing he said I didn't agree with.
That was sick burns on the UN there. And that was fantastic. I mean, he just doesn't hold back. I mean, that's he's an alpha male. And
they try and do these little tricks.
Okay.
Yeah, the problem is, like, I got to back to Ashfield Tuesday night.
The winner is Sydney.
The winner is. Yeah. Now, my friend who I stay with, he said to me, he goes, Rick, oh, he goes, Israel's fucked. He goes, they've just had all their internet shut down by the Hutu rebels of shut the Israeli internet down. I went, where are you getting this stuff from? Because I said,
I'm reading the Sydney Morning Herald.
No. He's on some random site that he's discovered. And he is using, because I told him, I said, you've got to go use alternative media. Unfortunately, he's found some guy who's just telling bullshit. Because I said, if Israel had been shut down, all the internet was shut down, it'll be on the mainstream media. The mainstream media would report that. Well, and he said, no.
Netanyahu was the biggest promoter of that bioweapon to be injected into his own people. Into his own people. Oh,
exactly. So the thing is,
none of these there is none of so these many.
Yeah. What I'm getting at, there are so many. Rollo, you obviously, you've had a little bit too much of that Aldi vodka. What I'm saying is that previous normies are now looking at these conspiracy sites and finding them,
And they're getting this misinformation because I'm telling you, if Israel's internet had been shut down by the Hutus and they couldn't, this would be a major story that you would know about. But no. So basically, what they're doing, they've opened up rabbit holes everywhere. And guess what, Rollo? Guess what? The star of 24, you know who he is, the Kiefer Sutherland. He's now in a show called Rabbit Hole, and it's about conspiracy theorists that go down rabbit holes, and they're all mentally ill.
And I'm a huge fan of his. And by the way, just say Julie Andrews if I get out of control here. But I'm a huge fan of Donald Sutherland's son.
No, Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, but his son
Donald died last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So a friend of mine who I would consider a normie is getting information that Israel has been destroyed by the Hutu rebels, wherever the Hutus are. And I said to him, "Where did you get that from?" And he told me, and I looked into the site. And it's just some random guy putting out. I'm telling you, literal bullshit. And this is the thing about. It's very difficult to be a conspiracy theorist in 2025.
Can I do a big thank you to Velocet when he went out with Rick and Rollo last week? Jolo. With that song, the Rye, whatever it was, the Queen, he put a sprinkle of truthmeats.com over the top. Billy, the way you did that. I mean, it just.
We're very lucky.
He gave me a bit of murder horny.
We're very lucky.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
That's it. That's what he did. Jolo
is knocking it out of the park. He's knocking it out of the park. We'll just say that.
As the winner is Sydney.
Sydney, be told. 100%.
Right.
Yeah, but he's knocking it out of the park because he's doing
the right thing. Can we have a Cosmic Psycho song while I go to the bathroom? What Cosmic Psycho song would you like?
Oh, Feeling Average.
Feeling average. I'm feeling average. I really do need to go to the bathroom to drain the main vein. So can we have Feeling Average?
The video, me and you should be doing a video, not because I think me and you are very much not just audio. We are visual. We both.
We should get on to YouTube or Reddit or whatever.
We'll be banned.
4chan. I think they're pretty easy going.
But Feeling Average
Truth Meets is pretty easy going. Well, we don't get blocked here unless you're Feeling Average. Feeling Average. Here we go.
Too much sun. Yeah, we must
You've got to watch the video. That's one of the greatest songs of the last 10 years, be told.
Great back and having
Jolo come on and produce is another coup for the Rick and Rolly show. You know, there's so many people who got fucked up.
All right, okay. Yeah, that was Cosmic Psychos. And, like, seriously, I'll say it again. The body horror that they did in that other song, David Cronenberg, good.
Absolutely.
Now, our number one fan, Susie, sent us Clueless, turned 50 today, and sent Clueless. Now, Vela said, did you get sent that to your email or into somewhere where we're getting ripped on fakeologists or something. Do you have that, Pant? She recorded it. She's not a audio engineer. She's actually quite, she just picked it up on the go.
No, she's good.
Some software. She got some software. Yeah, some software.
Well, she did the vegan adrenochrome to perfection. A couple of weeks ago. Highly recommended. Susie, and she's just turned 50. So, Susie, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to Susie.
Thank you, Susie.
Happy birthday to you.
And it's like, what is it? The two New Zealanders that have the one fan. I love it.
The Flight of the Conchords.
The Flight of the Conchords, where we had the one fan, and she's not a psycho.
No, she's not.
But she does like, oh, that band, what's that band? I forget the name of the band, you know, the one that, after the fire, after all the flame, I will be your flame, whatever the hell it is.
Really?
Who's sung
that? Like that.
It's
scary.
Do you remember the name of the Cheap Trick?
She's a Cheap Trick fan. Yeah. Well, no, but I am also a Cheap Trick fan because they came out of nowhere, 76 or 77.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the Budokan album, Live in Japan. Cheap Trick, Live in Japan. That had some really good stuff on it. So, Susie, if you think Cheap Trick's good, I actually support you. Yeah,
and we love our fan. We do. I noticed I didn't pluralize that.
Fan.
We love our fan.
Well, Rollo, we've got Rosie and my cat Sahara and Susie.
That's three people. They're animals. They're a Rick.
You're listening to
Rollo.
Rick
and Rollo, 48.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Go, Roller.
I just went out to have a smoke, but I take the phone with me and I'm listening on the stream. So that I can stay up to date on everything you guys talk about, you know.
I've got a story to tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, just cut me off. Go. I'm sure it's more important than what I've got to say.
It's one of those things,
I told you already. Like, I'm not going to be totally involved. I need to take a second. Sometimes I'm not going to be there all the time. So it's annoying when you call out. Oh, can you play this? Can you play that? I'm not always there. But to the biggest fan of all time, Susie, we need to play this.
It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a card like it's your birthday. And you
know, there's other ones too. We can, you know. But this is a true fart podcast birthday shout out, I guess. We'll play all of them.
Happy birthday to Susie.
I'll have a look and see if she emailed me that clip. I'll see if I can find it. But I was just thinking
Clueless. It's called Clueless.
with the body horror thing, there was a song I'll play a little later. Fox Warren. I was just tuning through the TV the other night, and on Rage they had Fox Warren, and apparently the videos, it's like a small band, so they just have this YouTube guy do the video for them, and it's like the weirdest fucking video I've ever seen, and it's never going to come across. All I can do is play the song here. It's going to make no sense. The song's fine, but if anyone goes to the show chat and checks out the video later, it's fucking weird as.
It's a really weird video.
I'll leave it another half hour or so we're not packed with songs. You should check out anyone who's in the Discord. You should check out this video. It's fucking weird. But good weird. It's like makes you want to. The song was good enough that it sold the video.
Oh, thank you, Bella. Look, the story of the week for me, it just was crazy. I went to watch a movie called Big, Bold, Beautifully Journey. It was with Colin Farrell and our Australian girl, Margot Robbie.
Yeah. It's a big movie.
It was the biggest bucket of shit.
I wanted to, and
people left the theater halfway through.
Yeah, because honestly, if she does not take her clothes off, no way would you want to take her clothes off.
It was them walking through imaginary doors and going back to their past.
It was so awfully written,
and I went, Colin Farrell, listen, you know why he played Meet So Horny there? Because of her
because you said she should take her clothes off. It's the only reason she should be on film.
She was in her hot pants what was it called? Suicide Squad.
It's a man, Suicide baby.
She had the baseball bat, and she was the
Suicide Squad, which was
she played the character of Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. Yeah. Okay. But Suicide Squad was actually the name given to the guys that played the rocket scientists that were doing the moon landing. They were called the Suicide Squad. That was I can tell you his name, Jack Parsons or whatever. They called themselves Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad. That was their name.
Who'd get on the end of a rocket that would go up or something?
Well, Jack Parsons founded NASA, the Rocket Propulsion Society, whatever they call themselves.
JPL.
Jet Propulsion Laboratories. So that's why it's been given all those bits and pieces, Rollo. But there's a there, guaranteed.
Let me just tell you about Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey with bloody Colin Farrell and Margot Robbie. I swear to God, I spent $100 on the
ticket.
I'm sitting there next to Chrissy. In the theater,
$100,
and I wanted. That's basically what it is with the large popcorn, the large bottle of vodka, and a large bottle of vodka, and a flask.
I had to buy a flask and vodka.
This $100 movie piece of shit. This theater was.
You think the vodka would make it better?
So I bought two Coronas as well.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then you got a flu anymore. No, the people that left, I wanted to live with them. They didn't come back.
This is halfway through. Rollo, most.
To be fair, you've invested in such a tiny TV. You've got no option but to go to the cinema.
I know. Oh my god! look, honestly, that TV. I'm embarrassed about.
I live in piracy universe. I've never paid for a streaming service or go to the movies. I just pirate everything in full 4K surround sound and just watch it at home. It's fantastic.
I just have internet bills,
but that's negligible compared to.
Hey Jolla, you know. I was on the building site on. I've been there since when did I come down? I drove down on Monday night. Yeah, Monday night. So I've been on a building site. And the winner is Sydney. And they The winner is Sydney. Now, they bought a 8K. This is in the main lounge area. An 8K TV, and they were playing sport on it. And I was looking at the screen and going, fuck, man, this looks so real. It's like you're looking at the window. But the TV cost $15,000, 8K, whatever the TV brand is. Now, let me tell you now, it does work.
15K for an 8K.
15K, exactly. $15,000 for an 8K TV, whatever. And I was watching, so they were playing the preliminaries to the grand final in Melbourne.
That's right. Geelong got beaten
tonight.
Yeah. Poor Frank.
Yeah. Now, look, honestly, poor Frank. That's what I said. Like, Frank will be absolutely discombobulated because his team, Geelong, got destroyed by the Brisbane team. But when you watch
Brisbane Lions or the Bears or whatever, and you saw it in 8K, whatever 8K is.
I'm watching on a $15,000 TV the sport. Wow. And I'm just going like, if I was there, I would have to be in the audience because it's so cool when you see 100,000 people watching a game, which is, and if you're in Melbourne.
Do you remember in Melbourne in COVID where they had an empty stadium where they played in?
Yeah, which I know. Hole? I said, oh, hole? My which God. Hole? Oh, which my hole? God.
He's taking his loss in the wrong place.
Which hole? Which hole? Which hole?
Which hole?
Remember? Do you remember? Us here in New South Wales call it aerial ping pong down there.
I call it aerial ping pong.
Yeah, honestly, aerial ping pong.
Now I have to apologise because I'm now in Melbourne. I'm telling you, Melbourne over Sydney. Melbourne wins. Melbourne wins every time. Friendlier.
They've got fantastic the sporting play. Yeah.
And they're nice people, way nicer people than the Sydney people.
You got that beautiful Yarra.
Yarra River. And it's the people and the businesses that is now that survived COVID, and I agree with those people that vacated that area. I have to say that they did a good job. Get out of it because it is you've been betrayed by whatever. But I was watching this sporting event, and there was two of the guys. Mm-hmm. One of the electricians was there, and he was a total devotee to aerial ping pong.
Mm-hmm.
Which is AFL. And I'm like watching it, and I got excited about it just watching this 8K TV playing this latest game. And my son was saying to me, he goes, Dad, you've no idea how big this game is here. And I said, no, I think I do. Actually, I do agree. It is big, bigger than if you're in it's Victoria. Massive.
Hey Rick, have you actually seen a game live?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I did.
Me too. I watched Carlton play Collingwood, and I swapped teams because I was a Carlton supporter when my father supported Carlton.
But you
and but my best friend Tony was a Collingwood supporter. Good old Collingwood. Hey, see if we can get Velocet to play that song.
No.
No, Hollywood.
I bet he can't. I was thinking, wasn't there? I've got somewhere there was a clip of you and Noise Level singing it together at some point on the Fart Podcast after a win.
Yeah, that was about Fart Podcast 15 when Noise Level.
But it is so good to watch AFL Live where you can see the players
Roller, I was sitting there. I was sitting there as a non sporty person. Becoming sporty, just watching this 8K, $15,000 or $20,000, whatever it costs, TV, playing this game. I became sporty,
and
I suddenly realized how easy it is to become a imbecile, because that's what you are if you.
Thank you, Ray Hadley. Ray Hadley, the imbecile.
If you live your life by your sporting team, good luck to you.
I was just true to my word. I swapped from being a Carlton supporter to a Collingwood supporter
overnight.
And look,
yep.
I could do it overnight, you know, only because I wasn't you were talking last week about Hartford and Bradford and,
Bradford in England.
Same thing.
They'd rather die than become a green or blue or whatever the name of the color is. No, it's full on. I think Melbourne is way better than Sydney. Way better.
Yeah, but Sydney's got the Opera House. Sydney's got the bridge. Yeah. Everything the Americans think about Melbourne Australia.
Nicer people, way better set out city.
Way better food.
It is. Sorry, Rollo, you agree.
Did you get a Ligon
yeah,
Street?
Honestly,
I swear to God.
The restaurants, the people.
I can't wait. You're going to have to go to Adelaide because, Adelaide's the Melbourne of Sydney.
I've been there.
So.
You know, you're right. I've been there. And yes.
Do you know what the problem with Adelaide is? They've got no water. They've got no dams. They've got no so all their water is held in huge big.
That's fine. What do you need water for? You don't shower and you only drink vodka, so you're fine.
Thank you, Mello. My brother stayed in the Adelaide Hills with.
I've been there.
Who was it? Yeah, the Adelaide Hills. Oh, it's beautiful where it looks.
Dave Gleason lives there from the Screaming Jets.
Does he?
Hey, Rollo. Yeah. Did you know? I did not know this. The bass player who actually wrote "Better" by the Screaming Jets.
Oh, what a great song!
He died in 2021 mysteriously. Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Guess what would you suggest it might have been?
Took the jab.
Exactly. Mm. Did you know that? You know, Pete. His name's Pete or Paul. Paulie.
Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, look up Paulie from Screaming Jets.
Peter Paul. Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
But I'm telling you, he did not. I've met him many times. That guy was a really healthy guy. He's dead now. Mm. I didn't know that. Did you know that? That Paulie from Screaming Jets.
I know I got punched in the face by.
That was Dave Gleason.
Yeah, by Dave, I did.
But Paulie died, and Paulie wrote "Better" by the Screaming Jets. I know that he did.
He did.
He died.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what does it say? How he died? That's why.
Here we go. Okay, so the Screaming Jets are an Australian band formed in Newcastle, New South Wales. Yes. So that's pretty local. From a band from Grant, Dave, Frank, Manita, and Grant Wilshire, deceased. Yeah, so it must have been Grant Wilshire, is it deceased?
Yeah, but his nickname is Paulie.
And he wrote
Paulie. So there's Grant Walmsley, so Dave Gleason, Jimmy Hocking, Scott Kingman, Cam McGlinchey, and Paul Elliott are the current members.
So Paul Elliott must have died then. But I'm telling you, he wrote.
Whatever.
He had a really good head of hair, an amazing head of hair.
Okay.
And after every gig I went to, because I went to a lot of Screaming Jets gigs, because
when it comes to Screaming Jets, I'm sorry to say, Rick, they're one hit wonder. Apart from I Know Better. Say you never know anywhere. Can we have a little bit of that, Vello? Hey, Vello, can we have a little bit of Screaming Jets?
We'll go out with better.
All right. Well, we'll do that.
Great 90s.
In honor of Dave Gleason. Oh, absolutely.
But I couldn't believe that I didn't know Paul had died. I've been to so many gigs of them, and when you go backstage after the gig, he used to be sitting there with a hairdryer blowing his, because he had a lot of hair, and he'd be blow waving his hair, and everyone used to say, oh, it's, you know, Paulie was doing, you know, it was like a thing that he had to blow wave his hair after every gig. But he wrote Better, and he was the one that was making the money from that song.
When it comes to Dave Gleason, apart from being a great lead singer, and didn't he sing for another band? Didn't he sing for the Angels? He did. He sung for the Angels when Doc Neeson died. He did a great job singing for the Angels. He's a great man on the radio, isn't he? On Triple M.
Absolutely fantastic show. But he actually lifted 3 or 4 really heavy items into my house when I was renting. Him and my ex-brother-in-law came around and actually carried furniture into my house. Dave Gleason from the Screaming Jets. And one of the nicest guys you could ever ask to meet. But Paulie was the one that made more money out of that song Better because he wrote it. But I didn't know he died, and he died, to me, as a conspiracy theorist, mysteriously. Very suddenly, out of nowhere, suddenly died 3 years ago.
We'll
go out with Better because we've done a big show.
All right. Tonight, Jolo. Thanks, Bello.
Jolo.
Jolo. I call him Bello. Bello says Jolo.
Jolo. Play Better.
If you want an after show, I'll hang on for an after show. I'm good for it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll play Better by the Screaming Jets. 1990.
I think Jolo's probably on the toilet taking a massive shit. You know, going, holy crap. The boys want to go out. He's waiting for the break. Rig and roll it.
We can
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Yeah, unless you worked in live radio.
You're listening to episode 27.
Hey, Dale. Episode 27. No, I think I've got John Laws on the line. It's hilarious, isn't it? When you get stuck on the toilet. And the joke he made last week, you know, when you're stuck in the little room. And you play I See a Little Silhouette of a Man, Scaramouche. And the record gets stuck. And it is a true thing that happened with me.
I have to apologize. I didn't realize the work that Jolo had put into that bit of, it was basically he did a parody very quickly on the fly. of a guy doing a show, and all of a sudden there's a scratch on the record, and he had to run back to the record.
Oh, thanks. I think that was, I agree, it got missed and overlooked on the night. I scurried away to my computer and made all the clips, that and then I had this idea when you guys were talking about how the record would loop at the end of a long song when you need to take a shit. I ran away and thought, oh, this is a funny bit. I'll make a demo tape of Rollo on his show flushing the toilet with the record. And I went away and did it. And you didn't get the reaction of the night, but I think it sunk in later, and then you thought, oh, gee, Joel made this whole bit for us.
I was listening to it, and I was going, he has just done exactly what I'm talking about.
Good boy.
The show, and he put it on perfectly. And I didn't realize, because I kind of must have gone to the toilet or done something when you played it, because I didn't hear how good you came back with the exact sound of what a scratch on the record of that song, Bohemian Rhapsody. If you're sitting on the toilet with farting and pooing sounds.
I quickly made a backing track of the record looping with the scratches, and then overlaid. Then I played it back live, and then overlaid Rollo flushing the toilet on it.
And so, look, I was listening, and I was going, I can't believe I wasn't throwing groveling. This is the best.
It's partly my fault too. I think I've become a little too adjusted to getting big laughs on every play of things I do, and sometimes it doesn't always hit. I was worried the whole last week. I was wondering, why did they not like that? What was wrong with my bit? I think it just took a bit more attention to detail to sink in. Well,
the next day I'm listening to it and I was going, how come I never spotted? He just
It was what you were talking about. It was like literally exactly what you were talking about was the idea.
And I know, and I'm telling you, Joel, I appreciate that you did that amazing thing. But at the time, I must have either been off in the
But to be fair, there was a bit of a gap. I had to hear you guys talking about it. It's not see, the problem with like real radio stations, you guys would have been talking about it because you were told to, and they would have had it already made and queued up, and it would have happened straight away. Exactly. I'm reacting to you guys. It takes me half an hour to run away and make the bit after you guys talk about it. So there's always it's never immediate because you have to make it. Right? But in that's where if you hear that, if it's live radio. Yeah, right. But in what they so call live radio, the joke comes immediately after the host says it. Guess what? That was prepared. They already had it planned. They already had the bit made to do live. I had to actually go and make it. So there was a half hour delay between you guys saying it and me making it, but it was live. It was true. You know?
The next day when I was listening to it in bed, I was just going, this guy has just done this incredible thing. And I didn't even pick up on it. Well, I was listening to Rollo.
I appreciate you saying that.
What did you think of Truth Meets coming through Pretty Vacant and Madonna?
Hey, Rollo, did you hear what I played last night? And I'm telling you, we should go out with this song tonight.
No, we're going out with better.
Oh, yeah, go with better.
We have to.
Well, you guys should figure out, are you going to talk more or what?
We can do an after show.
Don't tell me to play the final song until it's the final song. Just go for as long as you want. I'll play the final song when you're actually planning to leave. I could play that Fox. I want to play Fox Warren in the meantime, and then I'm sure there's other songs you could play. Fox Warren's that one I said. When you set up the body dysmorphia thing, that thing I said was really freaky, but it's this director, and I'll play. I don't know if are they Australian. I guess they're Australian.
I want to hear it.
I'll play the song, but I'll post it in the channel at the same time. I'll do that now. Actually, you should go watch it while I'm playing it. You should watch it for yourself because it's just fucking weird. Like these directors, they come up with some weird fucking ideas, man. And then I saw this thing and I'm like, this is fucking freaky as shit.
Awesome.
You have to see it. Like the composition of real dancing. He won't know. It's like a Triple J, like modern song. But,
all right.
I'll put it in.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'll put it in show chat. I'll put it in show chat and then I'll play it.
There and play it. Play it for us now. Here Let's listen to it together. I always like something new. Something new.
Another day. Another day to start all over again.
Anyone was watching the video? I hope
that was all.
Did you watch it, Rollo? Did you watch it, Rollo?
With you?
Did you watch it, Rollo?
Yeah. Remember, stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah.
You know, had a little bit of stuck in the middle of you. I got that was a great song.
I liked it.
Yeah, that was fine.
Did you see the video though?
No, I didn't because I was lazy. I'm sitting here on my back balcony smoking cigarettes. Well,
obviously, you don't like
Mova vodka.
The whole reason smoking I played it was cigarettes. For the video, though, which of course doesn't come across in audio. But
well, there we go.
I posted it. You should check it out later. Some director who does these weird compositions of like paper mache heads, doll dancing bodies, and then he like combines real people's leg dancing with. It's all like composited, and it comes across really fucking weird. And then the whole thing of in the video, you'll see each person goes up to heaven after they get killed, and it's fucking weird. Just check it out. I don't know. I was just watching it at like Triple J at good Rage at like you know 2 in the morning, like scratching my eyes, going, "What the fuck am I watching?" It's so
that's
weird.
Where you get that's where you get it at 2 in the morning. We had the Cosmic Psychos where they did body horror, which I compared to David Cronenberg. Again, it's
on Rage, we were so lucky in Australia. We had we had Midnight Till Dawn. We got to see all the craziest videos. And some of them were just amazing. Like, they were like, some of them were done by uni students. Some of them were done by Queen, like, or, you know, Cosmic Psychos or whatever. And they weren't edited. It was just awesome. We were so lucky in Australia. That's why we got the goodies and Doctor Who for 10, 20 years at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 in the afternoon. Yeah, but the BBC only played the goodies once.
Exactly. That is a travesty that it is.
They were upset. Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Bill Oddie.
Bill Oddie.
They said they wouldn't replay them until they had UK Gold or whatever it was but you had to pay money for that. And even though the English were paying how much money for the BBC, it was actually a tax had a TV, and they would try detector vans coming around. It was crazy. In Australia, you'd say we were given it for free. The ABC, you know, is now unwatchable. It's just mostly it's just propaganda, isn't it? It's just like
it's the worst ever. Yeah,
I just shake my head at anyone that would watch the ABC. But there's a streaming service called BritBox that plays all the old Father Ted's and the stuff that we like, Red Dwarf and whatnot.
Funny stuff.
You were talking about Felicity Kendall's bottom. Everyone loves Felicity Kendall.
So she's 80, so she's 79 today.
Felicity That's right, Kendall. And the guy from Roxy Music,
80 years of age. the star Brian Ferry was 80 today. Yeah. Felicity Kendall was 79.
Yeah,
so both
awesomely attractive, way more attractive than we could ever possibly be.
Oh my god,
he was such a
try and be as good looking as Brian Ferry.
Oh, Brian Ferry, I swear to God, that song "Don't Stop." Hey, Velo, can you look up Brian Ferry?
He doesn't need to play it. But it's 100% correct. Like, Brian Ferry's 80 years of age. He, to be honest, Rollo, he's got some really good stuff that he's just done recently, like,
He's still active. He's still active.
Yeah, he's still going.
What about Mick Jagger's still going, and he hasn't had a facelift?
No.
We were talking about facelifts the other night.
Mick Jagger's got a 37-year-old girlfriend. A 37-year-old girlfriend, and he'd be
good luck to him.
80 years of age. How he does that is a miracle.
Yeah, I know. My favorite Rolling Stone song is "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." Like,
not bad. Not bad.
Who wrote that one?
That's because you drink too much.
Exactly. What is drinking too much? Explain that to me, Villaset. Jolla.
Jolla.
Explain
it's
to
when
me.
You can't get explain. No satisfaction.
Is that right? Well, I'm not an incel. You don't have to call me a cis male. I am a voluntary celibate, not an involuntary celibate.
I don't believe that for a second.
Exactly. he's making up stories. Making up stories.
We're going to go with Dave Gleason.
I need to go to bed. I've been up.
All right.
Okay. So which song did you want to get? Dave Gleason song is
Better.
Screaming Jets.
Better. which is a great song. Guaranteed. That's
it is. A one-hit wonder, but we love it.
Great song, though. I love it. And the whole song's fantastic.
I'll cue up Screaming Jets better. In the meantime, when you guys sign off, go and watch in the chat the Fox Warren video and tell me your feedback. Tell me your feedback before you go to bed. You'll get a laugh out of it. But we'll go with that. Good having you here on Truth Meets.
Hey Joel, you're the greatest producer ever.
Thank you for your comments on my bit comedy that I come and do. Put so much effort into it every week.
Woo-hoo.
Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.